Tonight, we are thinking of this great love of Jesus. He wrote to us and spoke to us in John 15, "No greater love has anyone than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends." I'm going to take a path maybe that surprises you to talk about that, but I want to tell you a couple of stories about some scars that I have. I have a scar on my left knee because when I was a young boy, I think it was 9 or 10, my mom asked me, "The garbage men are coming and it's a hot July day. I want you to run out there with this jug of lemonade and go give it to them because they'll really appreciate that." Well, I started running out and I stepped on a rake that was facing the wrong way that did the old, just like in the cartoons, pop and drop and fall and cut. So a big scar, 10 or so stitches. I have another scar on my abdomen about here, which some of you might have also from my appendectomy. The funny story about my appendectomy was I was facing an exam at the seminary that I was pretty sure I was not going to pass. "Lord, I'm facing my first exam where I have to know Hebrew, and I really am that good at Hebrew. Please, if there's any way you could help me get through this, I'd really appreciate it." And that night, I got so terribly sick, which was the appendix, which earned me 4 extra days of recovery time and study, and God in his graciousness heard that prayer and helped me pass that test. Now, you too have scars, don't you? We could probably spend a lot of time tonight talking about them, telling stories like that. Some of them would be funny. Some of them might be actually quite sad. But our scars tell a story, not just ours, but Jesus's do too. Some of us have a scar that's hidden. Not just the ones in our bodies, but the scars on our hearts, the scars in our mind of something we saw, something we heard, something, some loss we felt that we will never forget it. That brokenness is there. Think about scars for a moment and realize that few of us would ever choose to get the scars that we have. Now, I suppose if I had really waited in my mind, pass this test versus by getting an appendix versus fail the test, I might have chosen that. But most of us don't choose them. We don't choose to drop lemonade jugs. We don't choose to have our appendix burst. We don't choose to be in car accidents and all those other things. We don't choose to be hurt, especially by someone that we love. But what if I told you once there was someone who did choose to be injured, to be scarred? Jesus said it, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man, a woman lay down their life for their friends." In war, buddies have done that for their friends in the foxhole. In a family, a parent has done it, pushing a child out of the way of a car and getting hit themselves. So it's happened a time or three before, and those are the stories of such sacrificial action that they make movies about, they write books about. We honor people like that. But imagine how complicated your story and mine is. The times when we have scarred others by our words or our actions or inactions. The times we've been scarred by others and things that have happened in life. Imagine the way it was supposed to be. Humanity started out in this love relationship with God, as sweet as any grandparent or rocking a little sweet child or mother holding their newborn. Humanity started in that loving relationship. Yet, as I think we know, love's a choice. And the choice that Adam and Eve made and the choice that every generation has made since was to say, "Thanks, God, I'll try it on my own." You know, you may not have thought about it before, but when humanity walked away, when humanity gave up that love-filled garden, that choice that we made, God also made a choice. God could have said, "I think I'll start over again. Maybe I will make giraffes talk and work with them." But he made the choice to still love. He made the choice to set into motion a plan to fix the scars, the brokenness of this love relationship. Sadly, we, not God, are the ones that so often get scarred by our choices, the choices to do life apart from God, to act on our anger, to act on our temptations, or to be on the receiving end of someone else doing the same thing. Most of our scars come from us looking for substitutes for the perfect love that comes from God. Addiction, anxiety, anger, control. Others are scars that come from other people, and more of them are just scars that come from a world that is wobbling out of control because it chose to be apart from God. The hopeful thing is that our scars, as hard as they are, the external ones and the internal ones, are not the end of our story. It might surprise you to say that our choice to say no to God and therefore say yes to sin meant that God still made the choice to love us, even when it broke his heart to see us walk away. Now, you may not have ever thought of that before, but a scripture I think that can remind us of that is in Jeremiah chapter 31. Is not Ephraim, and here he's talking about the nation of Israel, is not Ephraim my dear son, the child in whom I delight? And though I often speak against him, against the sin, against the choice to live apart from me, I still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion for him, declares the Lord. That little phrase, my heart yearns, doesn't do it justice. In the King James, it says that my bowels churn, and we don't think of emotions being there. We think of emotions being in the heart, but that's where the Hebrews thought emotions were. So maybe this translation can really help us get it from the Message, that same verse. Oh, Ephraim, my dear, dear son, my child, in whom I take pleasure. Every time I hear his name, my heart bursts for longing for him. Everything in me cries out for him. Softly and tenderly, I wait for him. That's how God feels about us today. That's how amazing God is. And his solution to this sin problem, how did God figure out to show that great compassion to the humanity that he loved? He chose to send his son, Jesus. He chose to send his heavenly son, Jesus, to bear scars for all of his earthly children that he loved. He asked Jesus to take our place. He asked Jesus to take our wounds upon himself. And Jesus so perfectly reflected the Father's brokenness and his broken heart for us. One of those passages from Luke chapter 19 says that when he came near the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. If you, only you, had recognized on this day the things that would make peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And he showed it a second place too. In Luke chapter 23, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, as Jesus was scarred in his wrists and his feet and the thorns around his head, as he was scarred for us, here's what he said. Father, forgive them. I'm being scarred for them. I'm dying for them. Forgive them. Wipe away the pain, wipe away the sin, wipe away all the consequences of the scars. This great love, this love of God shown us by Jesus, is when he chose to take on pain and suffering and rejection and scars and even death because he loved you. So this Good Friday, I encourage you to focus a few moments on some of your scars, some of the hurts you've endured. And even as you do so, be awed again in thinking of all the scars and the hurts that Jesus endured for us to cancel out those scars, to assure us there would be a time and a place when we are in heaven and he says, I will make everything new. What will make this a truly good Friday, a blessed, freeing Friday, is to reflect and remember most of all that Jesus was scarred to pay for everything. That Jesus overcame every sin, every scar, every pain ever given or ever received. That reading from Isaiah said it, by his wounds we are healed. So may the ultimate good that God, our Savior Jesus, has done by suffering and being broken for us, may that ultimate good fill us this Good Friday with healing, with his love, and with certain hope. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus.